The damn force field wouldn't go down. Rodney had tried walking into it, he'd tried thinking off, he'd tried pushing on it with his hand, and all he'd gotten was a severe zap and a heavy dose of frustration. Not that he'd been eagerly anticipating it or anything, he was just curious. But he'd gotten up early for this, and it was totally unfair that Shepard got to do it, and he didn't. What did Shepard have, anyway, that made him so special? Well, okay, he had the innate form of the ATA gene, and he was a natural with ancient tech, whatever that meant. But it really shouldn't mean that he got to have cool virtual sex when Rodney didn't. Rodney gave the force field one last kip, hopped away swearing, and headed back to the transporter. He wasn't going to take this lying down. There had to be something in the database about it, and now he knew what it was. Maybe he had a chance of finding it. It took him 5 days to figure it out, partly because there was a crisis with the city's recycling system, which was not really designed for Earth-origin plastics, and partly because the thing wasn't cross-referenced to anything dealing with sexuality, but rather linked under failed ascension devices. So by the time Rodney actually got desperate enough to look there, it was well after dinner hour and on the fifth day, and he was exhausted from fishing polyurethane out of biofermentation tanks all day. Really, it just figured that when Shepard got zapped with an extension accelerator, it involved sex rather than death. But Rodney kept reading, and the more he read, the more he... Okay, crap. He had to talk to Shepard. Right now. Rodney switched on his radio. Colonel Shepard. The moment of dead air stretched while Rodney chanted, "Come on, answer, come on," under his breath. "Yeah, Rodney, what can I do for you?" Shepard sounded a bit short of breath, and Rodney couldn't help himself. He checked the life signs readings, but no, there was no one out in the lower levels of the Northeast Pier. "Look, I really need to talk to you. The sooner the better." "Oh," Shepard sounded suddenly wary, like he knew what this was about. "I'm a little busy right now, but can I stop by your lab in 15 minutes? That's soon enough for you?" "It'll do. Make it my quarters, okay?" But there was no way he was going to have this conversation where someone else could walk in on them. "Right, 15 minutes, Shepard out." Rodney spent 10 minutes reading and checking cross-references and feeling grimmer and grimmer, and then he pulled up the most worrying statistics, arranged them in neat charts and graphics on his laptop screen, and headed back to his quarters. Shepard was already there, leaning against a column just outside his door, looking like hell. His hair was damp and even messier than usual. He had dark circles under his eyes, and his complexion managed to be gray and flushed at the same time. Rodney thought of the statistics and swallowed hard. "You'd better come in," he said. Shepard nodded and followed him inside. Rodney locked the door and turned around. Shepard glanced around for a moment, then sat down on Rodney's unmade bed. Under the circumstances, Rodney wasn't about to complain. "You have to stop," Rodney said, without any kind of preamble. "The virtual sex thing. You have to stop doing it." Shepard scrubbed a hand through his hair, looking down. "Yeah, I know." "Wait, what? You know? What do you know? And why didn't you tell me?" "It's pretty damn obvious," Shepard said quietly. "Every night I tell myself I'm not going down there, and every night I do, sometimes twice." "God." Rodney set his laptop down and paced back to the bed. It was looking like he wasn't going to need those graphics and charts. And here he'd thought the hard part would be convincing Shepard. "Look, it doesn't work, and even if it did, you don't want to ascend anyway, right?" Shepard's chin jerked up. "Ascend? That thing's supposed to make me ascend?" "Oh, right. Shepard hadn't read the stuff in the database. I know, it's nuts. But when the genetic manipulation project started to fail, the ancients got a little desperate," Rodney explained. "They began arguing among themselves, and some of them tried some pretty crazy things. One of them, her name was Sirja, decided that the way to become one with the universe was through prolonged, intense sexual stimulation. Her science was all wrong, of course. Well, okay, it's true that the parasympathetic stimulation lowers brainwave frequency, but even assuming you got down to near-ascension levels, no one in that state wants to ascend. You just want to come already." "No shit," Shepard muttered. "And then, of course, orgasm triggers alpha waves and you're back to where you started, with or without sufficient synaptic connections." "So I'm not going to ascend by mistake," Shepard said. "No, you're just going to go insane." Rodney turned and paced again, just to have something to do. 67% of the ancients who tried it developed an uncontrollable, incurable addiction, to the point where they were put in stasis to prevent them from tearing the city apart to get back there. That's the point of the force field, by the way. It's to keep the nutcases out. I still haven't figured out why it's letting you in." Shepard's face was dark and closed. "What about the other 33%? "Three of them, that's 25%, committed suicide. The last one was Sirja herself. As far as I can tell, she was the only one who could handle it. She left it behind when they gated back to Earth." "Those are crappy odds, Rodney." "I know. Look, the one chance you've got is if you quit now. The ancients who tried it did it for months. It's only been a week for you."
8 days.
Right, whatever. Just don't make it 9, okay? Shepard rubbed his eyes with the heels of his hands. I wish I knew I could do that. Something in the pit of Rodney's stomach went cold. If Shepard was that far gone already, there might be no way to save him. It's not a choice, Colonel. If you can't break the habit, we're going to end up sending you back to Earth, either in a straitjacket or a coffin. I got that, Rodney, but thanks for spelling it out. Shepard climbed slowly to his feet, like he was done here, like he was going to head out and... Don't go, Rodney said, and Shepard froze. We can, play a few games of chess, or watch a movie. I can see if Fraddock has anything you haven't seen. He owes me a favor anyway. Shepard looked a little wild-eyed, and for a moment Rodney thought he was going to refuse. But then his shoulders slumped. Chess is fine. Rodney got out his board and set it on the bed. Usually they played in the mess hall where there was convenient chairs and tables, but with Shepard like this he didn't want to suggest it. So he sat at the head of the bed, leaning against the wall with a pillow for lumbar support, and Shepard sprawled at the foot, hand propped on his fist, making his moves quietly but steadily. Rodney won all 3 games, and the worst part was he couldn't even lord it over Shepard, who was looking, if anything, worse as the evening wore on. I should go, Shepard said finally, when Rodney had checkmated him for the 3rd time and really only crowed a little. Wait, wait, not yet. He wasn't panicking. Really, he wasn't. We could... Shepard crossed his arms over his chest. To my quarters, Rodney, to sleep. Right, but there was no telling what he'd do once he got on his own. If the itch came back, if he had trouble sleeping... You could, stay here if you want, sleep on my couch. Shepard rolled his eyes. I don't need you to babysit me. If I'm going to quit this thing, I have to do it on my own. Rodney crossed over to stand in front of Shepard, incidentally blocking the doorway. I know you think you're capable of just about anything, and you know that confidence is actually justified surprisingly frequently, but what if you can't beat this? We should at least tell Carson. Shepard's chin jutted out stubbornly. But he didn't try to get past. What's he going to do? Prescribe methadone? Just let me try, okay? It was the sincerity that got him. Shepard was asking him to trust him, and he knew what that felt like. Knew that it didn't matter if Shepard was wrong, because he'd been there, and damn it, this was totally unfair. Okay, Rodney said, but if you can't do it, you have to promise me you'll come talk to me rather than just going down there, deal? Deal, Shepard said. He reached up and clasped Rodney's shoulder, quick and warm. Thanks, Rodney. Hey, sure, just good luck, okay? Yeah, Shepard said. Looks like I'm gonna need it, and headed out the door. Rodney sighed and dropped to his desk chair as the door closed. He felt completely helpless, and he hated that. But he couldn't just stand by and watch Shepard try to fight this. He couldn't. It only took a few minutes to rig up his laptop to set off an alarm if any life signs were detected in the corridor in the northeast pier. It wasn't much, but it was what he could do.